The Gospel of Mark
in the chapter number 10, and we'll commence the reading at verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he, that's Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Trust God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads and a word of prayer. Don't know why you've come to this meeting tonight. Perhaps you've been invited. Perhaps you just feel it's your place to be here. But I trust you've come to hear the word of God, hear the voice of God. And we'll just take a few moments in silence. And I would just ask you to do something. Just cry out to the Lord that he would speak to your soul. Ask the Lord that he would have a message for you. While in others, thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let's call unto the Lord. Our gracious Lord and loving eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege that it is to draw nigh unto thy throne of grace through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the finished work of Calvary. We thank you, O Lord, for the way that has been opened for sinful man to approach a holy God. Thank you, O Lord, tonight we can come and ask thee for mercy and grace to help in the time of need, and we can come with confidence because you bid us come boldly. O Lord, we come this night a needy people. Lord, we need to hear the voice of God. And I pray, Lord, this night that each person in this gathering, from those in the pulpit to those in the very back seats, will know the voice of God. Lord, I pray you will take away any hindrances, any barriers to the preaching of the word of God. Pray you'll cover this place in the precious blood and give liberty in the gospel. We do pray, Lord, for those who are saved. Lord, encourage them. Lord, have a word in season. Lord, if there's one walking afar off, Lord, draw them unto thyself tonight. Lord, if there are those who are still in their sin, we cry this night that, Lord, you would come and reveal unto them the seriousness of their condition. But, O Lord, you'll show them Calvary. Lord, I pray you will do this work that no man can do. We can't create an anxious thought, but we thank thee when God speaks, man has to listen. Lord, I pray you'll speak with that voice that wakes the dead tonight and call those who are lost out of their sin and out of their darkness into the wonderful light of the truth of the gospel. Lord, give the gift of eternal life in this place tonight. Lord, I pray you'll empty me of self, of sin. Lord, give me thy Holy Spirit, I pray thee. And Lord, may all that's said and done this night glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, we read these words. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The greatest need that any man or woman, any boy or girl, any young person has in this meeting tonight is the need to have salvation. The need to have their sins dealt with before God. The need to have a right standing before God. Above all physical and medical, emotional and monetary needs, you need to be saved. And that is the message of the Word of God, right from Genesis 3 to Revelation, that you must needs be saved. And that's the message that the Word of God presents to us time and time again. There are many ways that message is presented. In many of the miracles in the Gospels, we see physical problems in people's lives that remind us of spiritual problems in our lives. For example, we read of the deaf man in the Gospel, and he can't truly hear the call of God. We read of the lame man in the Gospel, and it reminds us that man just cannot come to God by himself. We read of the diseased man in the Gospels, and it reminds us that man cannot cleanse himself no matter how hard he tries. We read of the dead in the Gospel being raised to life, and it reminds us that we're dead in trespasses and in sin. Blindness also is a picture of sin in the Word of God. And I believe if we study this, we all can see ourselves in the person of blind Bartimaeus. If I consider this passage tonight, I want us to look at three things. First of all, the problem that Bartimaeus had, the person Bartimaeus called upon, and the provision Bartimaeus received. And I want to entitle this message, Bartimaeus' Final Opportunity. You'll notice, first of all, the problem that he had in verse number 46. We read that he was identified as blind Bartimaeus. It's interesting to note that he was identified by the problem that he had. He was blind. He could not see. You know, I just thought about that, and it reminds me that so often we identify people by their physical appearance, perhaps by their personality, perhaps by their behavior, perhaps by their looks. But you know, the Word of God tells us that heaven identifies each person in this gathering tonight as one of two people. You're known in heaven either as someone who is a sinner, or you're known as someone who is saved. And we can put many labels upon ourselves, and we can call ourselves many things, but at the end of the day, there really only are two labels. I ask you at the start of this meeting tonight, are you saved? Or are you still a sinner? You know, the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God makes it very clear that we're born in our sin. The Word of God makes it clear that there is none righteous, no, not one, and all of us are affected with a problem of sin. If you read the Word of God, it's interesting to note sin isn't something that we develop through our lives. It isn't something that we learn to do. It isn't something that we see in other people. It's something that we're born with. Whenever we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And you know, it's very easy for us who are trying to live good lives and trying to live moral lives to point our fingers at others and say, well, you know, the sinner is the person who's a murderer. The sinner is the person who's a drug dealer, those who are shut up in prison. And yet the Word of God says that all are sinners. And each person in this room tonight is tarred with the same brush, as it were, so to speak. We are all sinners. What is sin? What is the sin we keep talking about? Well, sin is simply our lack of fulfilling the law of God. Our lack of keeping God's commandment. It's our nature. It's our disposition by our very birth. You will notice that sin affects every area of your life. Bartimaeus' life was affected by his blindness. It affected his relationships. He couldn't see around him. He couldn't see the people he was speaking to. He couldn't get a proper job because of his condition in those days. And it affected every part of his life. This blindness was a hindrance to him. And so is sin. Sin affects every part of the life of a sinner. And Bartimaeus couldn't see the reality around him. And the Word of God tells us that we are blinded by our sin. And a sinner is someone who is blinded to many things in life. A sinner is someone who is blinded to the holiness of God. They can't truly see the holiness of God. Yes, they like to speak about the love of God, but they don't like to see the mercy or the justice and the holiness and the righteousness of God. A sinner is truly blinded to the seriousness of his sin. Because if you truly saw how serious your sin is in the sight of a holy God, you would try and have something done about it. Sin blinds us to the reality of separation from God. The sinner tonight does not truly realize that he is separated from God in life and will be separated from him in eternity because of his sin. Sin blinds us to the consequences of a life of sin. See, folks, there are consequences to sin. There were consequences for Bartimaeus' blindness, but there are also consequences to sin in your life and in mine. You see, sin affects your life. Sin will promise you everything in this world, and it will promise you self-promotion, good times, fun, fulfillment, health, wealth, future, popularity. It will promise everything you could ever desire. But sin will take a life and it will ruin it. And it will waste a life and it will leave you lying right where Bartimaeus was here just by the wayside. You see, sin, when it's showing all its promotion, doesn't tell you about the end of sin. It doesn't tell you about the broken homes that have been caused because of sin. It doesn't tell you about the occupied hospital beds or the bodies riddled with disease because men and women have tampered with sin. It doesn't show you the scars on the body and in your mind or the guilt or the emptiness at the end of the day. You see, whenever sin is being promoted and glorified on television and on magazines, it doesn't show you the results because there are results of sin. Sin affects you. It affects your life. But it also affects your standing before God. I think some of the most solemn words in the Word of God are found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and here they are. And God saw. And God looked down from heaven, and he saw men in their sin. He saw women in their sin. He saw people whose heart was only evil continually. And this night in this meeting, despite what you're wearing, despite the hymns you've sung, despite the Bible you're holding in your hand, God looks down from heaven and he sees within the heart of each person gathered here tonight. And while man looks in the outward appearance, God looks in the heart. I wonder, what does he see? How is your heart before God? Do you stand redeemed through the precious blood, or do you stand in your sin? Because if you're still a sinner, you stand in rebellion to God. You stand in defiance of God. You stand already in condemnation because of your sin. You stand with your sin crying out to be punished. The Word of God reminds us that those who do not believe are condemned already. And this night, if you're found in your sin, it affects your standing before God. It also affects your death. Because what a solemn thing it is to go into death without God. So often at funerals we sing, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none ill, for thou art with me. And those are beautiful words and they're comforting words, but those are words of comfort to the child of God. Those are only for those who are saved. Because there is no fear in death if you are saved, it's absent from the body, it's present with the Lord. But what a solemn thing it is to face death without the Lord Jesus Christ. What a solemn thing to close your eyes in your sin and wake up in God's eternity, realizing that you are without Christ, realizing that your sin will be punished. And sin also will affect your eternity. Because sin will not only ruin your life, it will not affect your standing before God, only it will not only affect your death, but it will affect your eternity. Because your sin will damn you in hell for all eternity. In fact, the Word of God tells us that the unrighteous and the wicked will be cast into hell for eternal punishment. It's interesting to note that in chapter 9 of Mark, three times we read about hell, and these words are repeated in verses 44 and 46 and 48. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell, that place of everlasting torment, that place of eternal punishment, that place of fire, that place of darkness, of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the result of sin if you go out into God's eternity as a sinner. You will also notice that Bartimaeus' blindness affected those around him. In Bible times, there was obviously no social services. Those who were blind or disabled in any way were not treated well. They were left by the side of the road. They were dependent upon others. They had to depend upon others for their living. They had to beg. They were outcasts of society. They were a burden on others, really. And you know, that reminds us that sin affects those around you. You do not sin onto yourself. You sin onto God. And you sin onto those around you. For those who are parents in this meeting tonight, your sin affects your children. Your sinful life will scar and mold your children's life. If your child follows your footsteps, where will they end up? Will they take them to the place where God is? Or will it take them in the ways of the world, in the ways of sin? Young person tonight, your sin affects your parents' life. There's many a parent with a broken heart because of the sinfulness of their son or of their daughter. Many a parent waits up for a phone call. They wait up until the child comes in because they don't know where their child is. They're out in the pleasures and the things of the world. And you see, sin not only affects those around you, but it will hurt them who are nearest and dearest to you. See, Bartimaeus was lying here by the side of the road. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't do anything about his condition. He simply had to lie there the way he was and depend upon others. And what a picture of a sinner. Because the Word of God tells us that the sinner is dead in his trespasses and in his sin. And perhaps I've described you tonight as someone who has not trusted in the Lord as their personal Savior. Someone who's never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, then the Word of God says you're dead in your trespasses and in your sin. And I don't need to tell you tonight, you can go to your dead body and you can command it to move and you can wish it to move, but it will absolutely be able to do nothing because it's no power and it's no life within itself. And that is exactly the condition of the sinner until Jesus comes and works a miracle. Bartimaeus, in this passage of God's word, acknowledged his need. Because whenever he was considering his life, he realized that he had a need. And when he heard that Jesus was coming, he desired that Jesus would meet his need. I wonder if you ever realized or acknowledged or confessed your need as a sinner. Because you see, you will never be saved unless you admit that you're a sinner. You will never be saved unless you acknowledge that you have a great need. You will never be saved until you first humble yourself and realize what and who you are in the sight of God. And if you're a sinner in this meeting tonight, I want you to take a little time. And I want you to consider how you stand before God. How do you stand before God? Because if you're not saved, you need a miracle on the inside, just like Bartimaeus needed a miracle from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus couldn't help himself, and neither can we as sinners lost before God. You see, folks, you cannot work your sin away. You cannot earn your sin away. You cannot buy salvation. You cannot create it. You cannot work it up because sin affects every area of our lives. Even the good things that we do, humanly speaking, are tainted by sin. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. There's only one way for you to get rid of your sin. And that brings us to the person that Bartimaeus called. You see, Bartimaeus did not have his sight, but he did have his hearing. Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. And so far in Mark's Gospel, we read about the man being healed. We read about the demoniac of Gadara being healed. We read about the man with the withered hand being healed. We read about Jesus calming the storm. We read about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. And although he didn't have his sight, he did have his hearing. And Bartimaeus appeared to know who Jesus was, so therefore we can conclude that he had heard about what Jesus had done. And the Word of God tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there's a reminder to us, if we ever want to see people saved, it's through the Word of God. It's through telling them about Jesus. If you've loved ones you want to see saved, don't entertain them on their way to hell. Tell them about Jesus. Bring them to the Word of God. It is the power of God on the salvation. It's God's ordained mean that sinners should be saved. How? Through the preaching of His Word. And Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the answer to his need. But who exactly was this Jesus? Who was Jesus that was passing by on his way out of Jericho? Jesus was the God-man, Son of God and Son of Man. You know, a few weeks ago we celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And you know, his birth was different from all other births because his was a birth that was ordained in eternity, that he would come to save men and women from their sin. The Word of God tells us that he became flesh and dwelt among us. But you know, many people just like to leave the Lord Jesus in the manger until next December. He didn't come and stay in a manger. He grew up and he lived a perfect life. His character was that of the one who is holy. He was sinless. He was meek. He was merciful. He was forgiving. He was just. He was without guile. He was righteous. The word of God says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." He was the only person born into this world who knew what it was to be perfect. The only one born into this world who knew what it was to have no sin in his life. But he was born to die. And by his death he died to bring eternal life to man. See, many a person has died and much blood has been shed in the cause of battles over the years. But no blood was shed like the blood of this man. This was the incorruptible blood. This was the pure blood. The vicarious blood. This is the blood which had power to save lost, sinful, fallen man. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, and whenever the Father turned his back on his Son and poured upon him the punishment of your sin and my sin, and whenever he bore his sin on our own, in his own body on the tree, his precious blood flowed as a payment for your debt of sin and for mine. The Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And praise God, he was the one who was coming to die upon the cross of Calvary. He's called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He is the substitute for sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to do what the sinner could not do. He came to perfectly fulfill the law of God, and none of us could have done that. By our birth, we're sinners. He came to suffer the punishment for sin. He came to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. Romans 5:6 sums it up, for it says, "When we were yet without sin, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And that's a powerful verse when you stop to think of it. For when we were yet without strength, when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, Christ died for you, and he died for me. And away back in eternity past, when God looked down through history, and he set his love upon us, even when there was nothing lovely about us, and there was nothing good about us, and there was nothing appealing about us, yet such is the love of God that he set his love upon us. And he purposed that he would die upon the cross in our place. We are loved with an everlasting love. And he has said, "I have loved thee because I love thee." And it's not something we understand, but praise God, we can believe it tonight because he has said it in his word. See, C.H. Spurgeon said, "I have a great need for Christ." But then he went on to say, "I have a great Christ for my need." And if you're in this meeting tonight as a sinner, you have a great need for Christ. But praise God, everything you need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did Bartimaeus do? Whenever he realized Jesus was passing that way, what did Bartimaeus do? He cried for a personal meeting with Jesus. Verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.'" He wanted a personal meeting with Jesus. This was between him and the Lord. If you're ever to be saved tonight, you need a personal meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your parents may be saved tonight, but that does not affect your standing before God. Your children may be saved tonight. Your husband, your wife may be saved tonight. But that does not affect your standing before God. You're still in your sin. And you need to have a personal meeting with Jesus. You must call personally. There was obviously conviction in this man's life because he knew to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew he had a need he could not meet, and therefore he was calling out to the Lord. And then, of course, you'll notice there were the hindrance. It wasn't easy. There were many people against him. Verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Isn't it interesting? Some were endeavours to go forward to the Lord, and then there are hindrances. And you can just picture the scene. Bartimaeus is crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And there are those who are saying, "Bartimaeus, sit down there. Nobody is worried about you. This is an important man. Let him get about his business. Just be quiet." They tried to discourage him from coming to the Lord. And you know, there are things in our lives which can discourage you from coming to the Lord. There can be barriers in your life. There can be hindrances in your life that can discourage you. Perhaps the fear of your family or your friends. What would they say if I come home and said I was saved? Surely they think my head was away. They know the life I've lived. And you know, the thought of family and friends and the fear of man can discourage you. But the Word of God says the fear of man brings a snare. And the sad reality is, if you don't turn from your sin, you'll be on your road to hell. The fear of man will take you to hell. Another hindrance to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe the biggest one, is pride. Because if you do not humble yourself before God and come as a little child, you'll not be saved. And there are very few people willing today in this society of self-promotion and trying to do your best all the time. Very few people willing to say, you know, I'm helpless. Very few people to say, I'm a failure. Very few people will say, I'm a sinner before God. And yet the Word of God says you must acknowledge your sin if you're ever to be saved. Procrastination is a hindrance to you coming to Christ. I put it off until tomorrow, until the next mission, until the next Sabbath evening service. And this hindrance can come time and time and time again. But you know, perhaps there are things in your life that you're holding on to and you're not willing to give up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's a relationship that's not right. Perhaps it's a love of sinning. Perhaps it's alcohol. Perhaps it's immorality. Perhaps it's something that you're not willing to let go of or turn your back on to be saved. I want to ask you a question tonight. What are you prepared to reject Christ for? What are you prepared to hold on to that will take you to hell and say no to Christ? What is it that is so precious to you that it's worth spending eternity in that place of damnation? What is it that you cannot see the wisdom in giving up that Christ might save your soul? How sad it would be for one person in this meeting tonight to hold on to something that they will damn in hell because it kept them from Christ. What happened when there was a barrier put up in front of Bartimaeus? Did he say, right, well, that's it, I'll not bother anymore? No, praise God, he shouted again. And he shouted the more. Verse number 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I need mercy. And praise God, he wasn't prepared to let it pass him by. He wanted to cry out when Jesus was calling that way. What's mercy? Mercy is an undeserved act of God. We sang tonight, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And then we read some of the most beautiful words in Scripture, verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Now Mark's Gospel, although it's the shortest of the four Gospels, is a very busy Gospel. There are more miracles and more preaching of Christ in this short Gospel than any of the rest. And you'll find it's always going and they're moving from one place to another and doing this and that. And yet in the midst of all this, Jesus stood still. Now think about that. Let's try and grasp that. The one who spoke creation into being. The one who upholds the world by the power of his hand. The one who rules upon the throne of sovereign grace. Takes time to stand still when a sinner calls out to him. What a merciful God. Jesus stood still. Perhaps you're going through life tonight and perhaps you think, well, you know, nobody really cares about me. Nobody cares about me and my eternity. Nobody cares about me and my life. Well, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ cares. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I can tell you tonight, if you call out of a heart that's longing to be saved, you'll find him faithful. You call to him tonight, he will bow his ear to you. And he will hear your cry, and not only hear it, but he will answer it. Jesus then commanded Bartimaeus to be called. Verse 49 says, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Wonder in this meeting tonight, is there people who have heard the call of God before? Perhaps you have heard the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you in meetings such as this. Perhaps you sat in the meeting and the tears have run down your face. Perhaps you've known what it is to feel conviction. Perhaps you've known you must get right, otherwise you'd be lost for all eternity in hell. And yet you've turned your back and walked out. Word of God says three times, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart." And if you hear the voice of God calling you tonight onto salvation, I trust that you'll be wise and you'll respond to him. What did Bartimaeus do? In verse 50 we read, he cast away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. Firstly, he arose, he obeyed the call of God. Secondly, he cast aside all hindrances. Now, he threw away his garment. It was probably a huge cloak that he would have covered himself with. And perhaps getting up and not being able to see properly and going towards Jesus, he might have tripped over it. So what did he do? He threw it aside. He cast aside everything that he could come to Jesus. And then he came to the only one who could heal him and told him of his need. And you know, the reality is tonight, you may reach the pinnacle of popularity in this land. You may do things which are the envy of men and women across the country. You may achieve great things in this life, and whenever you die, all the papers will carry your obituary. But unless you do what Bartimaeus did, the word of God calls you a fool. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And the words "there is" are not there in the original. So we could read that the fool has said in his heart, "No God." And you might have all the praise and adulation and the glory that this world has to offer and stand before God and be called a fool. And I don't know about you, but I tell you, I could bear many things, but what a solemn thing it would be to go out into eternity and hear those words. You need to do what Bartimaeus did. Cast aside everything. Your friends are not worth you going to hell. That sin that you're enjoying right now is not worth you going to hell. The so-called freedom you think you have at this moment is not worth you spending eternity in hell. Cast away all things. And come to the only one who can save you from your sin. Come to the only one who can give you eternal life. And praise God, we find that Bartimaeus came and the provision was received. Verse number 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." You'll notice that he was met at the point of his need when he acknowledged Jesus as Lord. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And that's very interesting tonight. Because the Lord Jesus came to save you and to be your Lord. You see, there's some idea going about that I can ask Jesus to be my Savior and get a ticket, as it were, to heaven and live the rest of my life the way I want to. That's not biblical Christianity. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes and saves someone, he changes them completely. They are a new creature in Christ Jesus. They have new desires. They have a new life. They will have new habits. And they will walk in a new path. And you have to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And that's what salvation is, making him Lord of all. Giving him full control. Becoming his child. You know, we read of a day in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But friend, for those who have gone out into eternity, it will be too late to save their soul? Have you bowed the knee before Christ? Have you trusted Him as your Lord and as your Saviour? Have you given Him your life? You will notice that the need was fully met because Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." His need was met completely. His blindness was taken away and this man was saved. And tonight in this meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ offers you a full and a free salvation. He not only takes away your sin in His precious blood, but He gives you His Holy Spirit. He gives you the strength to live the life. He gives you the promise that He'd bring you safe through to glory. Everything you need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you His precious word. He's given you the privilege of prayer. He's given you God's people to fellowship among. Praise God, He gives a full salvation. So many people say, "Well, you know, I wouldn't be able to keep it." That's a misunderstanding. You cannot keep anything because you didn't even give it. The Lord Jesus Christ gives salvation. And praise God, He keeps you. Not only that, but His need was met immediately because we read, immediately He received His sight and followed Jesus in the way. And He called on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately His need was met. And He's still the same God. And for those who will cry unto Him tonight, He will save you in an instant. Praise God, you'll move from the deadness of sin into life eternal. We sang tonight what Jesus does for those who are saved. For those who come asking Him to save them. This is a testimony hymn, but we sang, "Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary love, oh what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace He did proffer, He saved me, oh praise His dear name." And we sang that tonight. Many of us sang it out of hearts which have been saved. And that's what He'll do for you. He'd make that transaction. His sins, or your sins, to His account. And His righteousness to yours. And He'd pick you from the rags of your sin. And He'd clothe you in the righteousness of Christ. And He'd make you into a new creation tonight. Bartimaeus was no longer an outcast. He was a child of the King. Bartimaeus was no longer blind, he was able to see. Bartimaeus was no longer begging. You'll notice what he was doing, he was following Jesus. And you may have come into this meeting tonight as a sinner, but the wonderful news of the gospel is you can leave saved, a saint and a child of God. You may have come into this meeting tonight with the burden of sin pressing upon you. The fear that one day you'll stand before God and have to acknowledge your sin. The fear that one day you'll be cast into God's eternity. The fear that if you were struck off tomorrow, you know you would not be in heaven. And yet you can leave tonight with an assurance of God's salvation. You can leave a child of God. You can leave in freedom from guilt and from fear. You can leave with the glorious hope of the gospel in your heart. You can leave this meeting tonight through Christ, saved, redeemed, with a right standing before God. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Praise God, when Jesus comes, a change is made. Hymn writer said, "He sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his robe and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and made his blindness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay." You say unto me, "I'd love to be changed. I'd love to know I'm ready for heaven. I'd love to know I have peace with God. I'd love to know I am born again. I'd love to know I'm saved. What must I do?" Word of God tells us very simply, Turn from your sin. Repent. Turn from those things which are against God. Turn from those things which displease God. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Believe and trust that when he died upon the cross of Calvary, he paid it all. He did enough for you. And the wonderful thing is, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's a promise. Thou shalt be saved. The Word of God says, for whosoever in this meeting tonight, man, woman, boy, girl, morally upright person living in the depths of depravity, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you must call. You must call. You must take him at his word. You must put your trust fully upon him. Praise God, he'll deal with your greatest problem. He'll deal with your sin. He'll give you peace with God. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll make you complete in Christ and he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. Praise God, if you're saved, he'll sanctify you and set you apart and use you for his glory. And one day you'll be with him in eternity, in that place called heaven. But finally, I want you to notice in this passage of God's word that God was glorified in this salvation. If you turn to Luke chapter 18 and verse 43, we have another account of the same event which happened. And at the end of this passage, we read, immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And the truth we have here in this passage is this, that when a sinner is saved, all the glory goes to God. When someone accepts the call of salvation, all the glory goes to God. And we call for you tonight that you would be saved, not for the glory of a church, or a denomination, or of a preacher. We ask you would be saved from your sin for the glory of God. And that's our heart's desire tonight, that you would be saved. You see, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He was delivered for our offences, and raised again for our justification. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's able to save. He's ready, and he's willing to save. And then we read, he followed Jesus in the way. Just want to ask you a question tonight if you're saved in this meeting. Are you following Jesus in the way? You see, there was evidence that this man was changed because he got up and he followed Jesus. Are you walking close to the Savior tonight? You're saved and you're a gospel servant and perhaps you think, well, you know, this isn't for me. Are you saved? There was evidence of life in this believer. I said at the very start of my message, this was Bartimaeus' final opportunity. And so it was, because he was going, or Jesus was on his way through Jericho to Jerusalem. Jesus, at this time, was on his way to the cross. A few days later, he would enter into Jerusalem and he would be crucified. And Jesus would not be passing that way again. But praise God, Bartimaeus called out when he was passing by. I don't need to tell you tonight about the brevity of life. The Word of God makes it very clear. It says our life is like a vapor which appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. The Word of God says that we're here for a brief season. I want to ask you a question tonight as we bring this meeting to a close. If this was the final time that the Lord Jesus Christ passed by, will you be ready to go out into eternity? If you leave this meeting tonight without Christ, you've no guarantee of another gospel opportunity. God willing, we have a mission coming up in March time. But we don't even know if we'll see tomorrow morning. And therefore, I believe this night Jesus is passing this way. I don't believe it's an accident we're gathered here tonight. I believe in the providence and in the mercy of God we're found in this house. We're found in this house with a gospel opportunity for you to come and put your trust in Jesus. Word of God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I trust and I pray if you're not seated that you'll not leave this place without Jesus. Friend, don't go out into another week. Don't take a few more steps towards hell, presuming everything will be all right in the end. God's brought you here tonight. Settle the matter of eternal life tonight. He is ready. He is willing. He is able to save. Won't you come and trust him? Hymn writer said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see, and I trust tonight. You'll be able to call that your testimony, that you'll be saved. If you want to speak to us after the meeting, I'll be at the door. Just say to me. But please don't go away tonight without the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus now.